Hello again. A few weeks ago, we introduced a slide to you, and Chris and Yuko Wilkins were here. I think we have it again. Here it is. This is a map representing where Northgate supports missionaries and mission work around the world. And in case you weren't here a couple weeks ago, or if you're watching online for the first time, or you weren't here 2 weeks ago, let me just introduce these people to you, starting on the far right. Chris and Yuko Wilkins are missionaries in Japan that we support, and they were here, like I said, 2 weeks ago and shared what's going on in Japan and their work there. If you swing down to Africa, we have our connected community in Gahanda, Rwanda. We're sponsoring over 150 children there through International Child Care Ministries. Great stuff is going on in the church there and in the community, and we're glad to support that. If you swing on up to Spain, Josh and Susie Fajardo are Free Methodist missionaries there. And then over to Hungary, Jerry and Kati McNamara and Larry and Katie Winkles are missionaries in Hungary. Jerry's going to be with us in October on a Tuesday. We're going to have a dessert night, I think, with him and a chance to hear what's going on in the work in Hungary. But today, I'm excited to introduce my good friends, J.R. and Becky Krause. They are here from Ecuador. J.R., come on up. And you're going to come too, Becky? Okay. And they're going to share this morning about what's going on. I've known these people for almost 25 years. They are wonderful, wonderful people. I'm so excited to have you here today. Would you welcome them this morning?
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Henry. Hey, it's good to be here this morning with you. And thanks for being here at Northgate. It's a pleasure to be joined together in worship with the Northgate family, to worship together in actually our own mother language, and that just hits our hearts real close. Becky and I, as Pastor Vern said, have the immense privilege of being missionaries with the Free Methodist Church and to be Northgate missionaries and represent the continent of South America. We have lived in a few different places over the years. Our journey began in Haiti, and then it went on to Peru, and now we call Ecuador our home in South America. We have two daughters, Marissa, who is our oldest, and she's a junior in college this fall, and Elena is our youngest, and she'll be a junior in high school at a school in Quito. And I think we were scheduled to be here about a year and a half ago, and just a few weeks shy of the date to come visit and share with you, COVID happened. So we're really glad that we could have it worked out while we're here this summer. And thank you for opening your doors and welcoming us. Thank you to all the team that's worked with us in getting things ready. And we want to thank you as a church for partnering with us faithfully over many, many years of service. The past few weeks, you have been looking at this theme of life and the stories of how God is at work in the world. And you've heard from some missionaries, Chris and Yuko, and then last week, I think her name was Joyce, was here with you. And I'd like to start our time with you this morning by inviting you, first of all, to find in Psalm 107, verses 1 to 3, you'll find these words. Psalm 107, 1 to 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, and from north and south. Verse 2 of that little passage says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And in another version it says, let those who have been set free by the Lord tell their story. And we're glad to be here this morning to share with you how God has been writing his story in our lives during these days and to be able to share a little bit with you this morning. We'd like to continue by sharing with you a short video of a man we know in Ecuador whom God has set free.
For about a year, Jose Francisco Chica has been the security guard of a building in the city of Quito, Ecuador. Many people place their trust in him. However, what they don't know is what his life was like a couple of years back. This is his story. The Central Free Methodist Church has embraced the vision of community church planting, and one of their first workers who accepted the challenge to go out and spread the gospel was Brother Jaime Andrade. Brother Jaimito, as they affectionately call him, supported by Rosita, another sister from the church, began to visit Juan Olmedo and his family, residents of La Legarda, a dangerous neighborhood in the city of Quito. Juan and his family began to hear the gospel and invited their neighbors. One of those neighbors was Jose Francisco, who was nicknamed the Snake. The Snake led a disorderly life. He did not have a permanent job, and he disrespected his parents. He lost a home, and his current family was slowly falling apart due to Jose's addiction to cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs. In addition, the neighbors considered Jose as someone aggressive and dangerous. When Juan invited Jose to his house, he did not want to attend. However, one day, without knowing how or why, he ended up in his living room. Brother Jaime spoke to him about salvation in Christ, and that simple message began to transform his life. In the days that followed, Jose stopped using alcohol and drugs, and he did not miss any of the House of Peace meetings. The people around Jose began to realize that he was no longer quarrelsome and did not feel in danger around him. Jose began taking all his money home so that his family had a better quality of life and began to share much more of his free time with them. Now, Jose's family feels loved and valued. God has provided him with a stable job. Jose has begun to share with his friends what God did in and for him. And in fact, he has started traveling to his parents' town to tell them of the great things God has done.
That's a really cool story. Jose is one of many who are having the story of their life rewritten through an exciting movement of the Holy Spirit called Community Church Planting. That's taking place in Ecuador, in Latin America, and in fact, many parts of the world. And between the years 2016 and 2019, within our own Free Methodist Network in Latin America, 400 houses of peace were planted. That's like planting a new church. And that number continues to grow. And the reason this is bearing fruit is because it focuses on equipping all the followers of Christ, everyone in the church. And people are being taught how to tell their story, how to tell how Jesus set them free, how to tell God's story, the plan of salvation. And then they're forming small groups. They meet in places called, as I said, houses of peace. They meet with their friends, their neighbors, their coworkers, their relatives, and introducing them simply what it's like to walk in a new life in Jesus. And you may be thinking, well, what's happened during COVID? Well, thankfully, many of those places were able to still connect through their phones and connect virtually. And so the meetings have gone on, and new churches have been planted even during these very difficult times. It's been so good that during the last six months, 198 new houses of peace have been planted in Latin America, and over 1,000 people have been able to start a new journey with Jesus. So Becky's going to come now, and she's going to share a little bit about her story and how God is working in her and through her.
Good morning. Before I get to a little bit of my story, I'd like to share Mari's story with you. Over 30 church leaders in Ecuador have been trained in community church planting methods so they can plant their own houses of peace and make new disciples, just like Jaime did. One of whom we had the privilege to help train is Mari Aguirre. God has helped Mari to put the training into practice in a wonderful way. Pre-pandemic, Mari had just completed the lesson on evangelism. Novena was coming up, a traditional gathering that takes place 9 days before Christmas. Mari's mother asked her to share a message with the extended family members who would be attending. Mari prepared a visual presentation of the gospel message she had learned about at our meetings, and she asked for the prayer support of people in our group and in the church. At the end of her presentation, when she asked how many people would like to receive God's gift for them, All 22 people raised their hands and prayed to accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers through his death on the cross. Since then, Mari has continued to meet with family members to help them have a closer relationship with God. Because these family members come from a cultural Catholic background, they would never feel comfortable stepping inside an evangelical church building. But Mari met with them in her aunt's home and has been able to help them have a more personal relationship with God. Mari also started a kids club at a local park to help reach people in her neighborhood of Pomaski. Because of COVID restrictions, Mari started making video Bible lessons that are sent virtually to the children. The children watch them with their parents so that every child's home has become a virtual house of peace. It's been a joy to watch Mari's story unfold as she helps many people get started in their life journey with Jesus. Now, a little bit of my story. I grew up in a small town in rural Illinois. When I was in high school, I basically told God that he could write my story however he thought was best. So I went on a couple short-term mission trips and ended up teaching at an international school in Haiti after college graduation. There, I met a certain single young missionary.
Who had hair?
Almost 30 years and 3 countries and lots of curly perms later. Thankfully, that's gone out of style. God is still writing our story. Many times mid-chapter, I really tried to wrestle the pen out of God's hand and said, "You're writing it wrong." I'm sure you've been there. But I'm so thankful to be able to live out the story that God is writing for me. And it's been a story I never could have anticipated. Ironically, the pandemic has opened doors for me to use my training and education over a much wider scale than I could ever imagined. Ministerial formation classes that can normally only include people from one city now include people from different countries since they're held virtually. An online seminary called Senforme was organized. It serves students from all over Latin America. I taught a course on leadership through Senforme with a man from Colombia whom I have never met in person. And we had students from 3 Latin American countries. I've been part of the Senforme Advisory Committee to help form policies and a process to choose and prepare our facilitators. I've also had the privilege over the past year to write a training manual and do virtual workshops for 117 people from 15 Latin American countries who are ministerial formation facilitators in their local setting. We covered lesson preparation, active methods, and evaluation processes. We are praying that these and future workshops will help equip each district to multiply their capacity to train new leaders who will train others. The Free Methodist Church in Latin America has also been making efforts to help the children begin writing their own stories with God. Presently, Latin American children's workers are using whatever materials they can get their hands on. They would love to use materials that are written especially for them from a Free Methodist perspective that teaches the children how to have a personal relationship with God and express that through service to the people around them. To that end, I'm part of a team that is adapting and translating a children's curriculum called Roots that could be used throughout Latin America for Sunday schools and children's clubs. The first section of lessons is almost complete, and we recently tested the first few lessons at a few pilot projects to see how we can change it and improve it. Since the material has some components that are different than traditional curricula, we will need to do some teacher training. So I'm overseeing the teacher training as well as helping to write and adapt lessons. We have some brochures at our table in the back available with more information if you would like to help contribute to the development costs of this wonderful project. And now Jair is going to share a little bit of his story and how God is using him these days.
Some of you have known me for many years. You know that I grew up here in Western New York, and I attended the Gowanda Free Methodist Church about an hour south of Buffalo all my life, and that church has had a big influence in my life, and I remember many missionaries that came through there while I was a young person, and that marked my life forever. And then during my college years, God put the pieces together. He showed me how my background in agriculture, what I was studying in agriculture, could be used in missions, and it could be used to serve small-scale farmers in different countries. And so the Lord has allowed us to work among the Haitian people. He's allowed us to be in Peru, And as I've worked with those people, it has been just a tremendous time, and so much of my life, who I am today, is because of them. There were lots of adventures. There have been lots of adventures, and if you'd like to hear one, I'd be glad to share one with you. But as Becky mentioned, there's also been some very tough times, times that we didn't know how we would get through, but really, God was there all the time. And He, by His grace, has allowed us to this day to continue serving in missions and just continue serving in His calling. And thank you for your part in making that possible in our lives. As Becky mentioned, our ministry these days is centering a lot on developing healthy leaders in Latin America. And in Ecuador itself, we've recently formed, actually about 2 years ago, formed this committee that looks over pastoral formation, and here in our Free Methodist work, it's called the MEG Board. But now we have one in Ecuador as the church continues to mature and grow. And so they've asked me to be part of that. We've learned along the way, and they've asked for if I would be a mentor to several of the candidates. And so it's been a privilege to do that. It's kind of expanding my stretching my comfort zone. And as this role has developed, I've been asked if I would help do some of this more widely in Latin America. So we'll be looking at, we have been actually revising a chapter in a manual that guides MEG boards, pastoral formation committees, in the area of mentoring. Each candidate has a mentor, and how to do that. And we're looking at, then how do we go to the other mission districts that are developing in South America and Central America, and how do we help those MEG boards put in the mentoring process and what that should be like for them. And besides this role, I also have another role as the coordinator for our Latin America short-term mission teams, what we call VISA teams. And the pandemic has, as you would imagine, has put a stop to that for about a year and a half. But now in 2022, it looks like things will be calming down enough that teams can go back out. And we certainly have plenty of needs. We particularly have some construction needs now in South America and Central America. And we are going to be looking more intently into how can a short-term mission team help a local church with some kind of entrance strategy, community church planting entrance strategy into their community. Maybe it's like through an English camp, maybe a sports camp, some kind of creative arts ministry that people could be engaged and the local church could use that as a platform for planting a church in that community. One of my loves is agriculture and gardening. And when I got to Quito, I found out that one of our churches has a vacant lot. And so we began a garden in the back lot of that church. And the pastoral family is bivocational. So the food that was produced in the garden has helped them. They've used the food for kids' club on Saturdays, and they've helped needy families. And that's been great to see that happening. When we were able to go back to Ecuador after a year and a half here in the States, we were able to go back in February, and when I got back, the landlady of our apartment complex, she said, you know, I know you asked like 2 years ago if we could start a garden in our backyard, and you know, at that time, she didn't say it then, but her response was like, you know, I'm not really sure, but this time going back, she said, you know, I think it's time to start that garden. And so it's been really great because it's helped me engage the kids in that apartment complex, plus also one of my neighbors, and who we would probably never really have much contact with besides saying hi and goodbye as we met each other at the doors. But it has been a wonderful thing to be able to do that, and I really enjoy that. When we began speaking in churches last year, before COVID happened, we were here in the States. Becky asked our mission district leader in Ecuador, her name is Mariana, Becky asked her, Pastora Mariana, what would you like for us to, what kind of words would you have for us to share with the churches that we'll be visiting, some of our partner churches? And this is what Mariana said. And so these are words for you. She says, you are a part of what's happening in Ecuador. We have to go out and we have to look for people. People often reject religion and church peoples whose actions have been a bad testimony. But you know what? They really want God down deep. God has revealed that we have to go out. We have to obey. It's urgent. Pray for God to put this passion in our hearts. Pray for more workers. There's so much more to do. It's not difficult. It doesn't take much time. But we can do it with God's love and through our testimony. So I hope that as we have shared with you this morning, that your hearts are rejoicing for how God is at work in the world. He continues to work. He is alive. He's working in Ecuador, and I hope to get the idea that he's working in Latin America and Central America. Please keep praying, as Pastor Mariana has asked, for more harvest workers. There's so much more to do. We'd be glad if you like Facebook, if you join us at our webpage. It's called 4 Below 0. Maybe scratching your head and say, 4 Below 0, what's that mean? Well, it means 4 Krauses at 0 degrees latitude, or just below it. We're just a few miles from the official equator. And so if you'd like to do that, we'd be glad to have you join us. If you'd like to get a newsletter, there is a little paper on the sign-up sheet on the table out by the doors. And certainly if you would pick up a card and pray for us. And also there's some brochures about the Roots curriculum that Becky talked about. I just look over our lives, and it's been a privilege for us to have been part of the lives of so many people. And we thank you. We thank God that we've been able to play a part in the lives of people like Jose and Mari. And we want to thank you for making that possible for us to do that, for your financial support, your prayers. You've allowed us to live out this somewhat crazy story of our missionary life that God has written for us. And we encourage you to remember that you can share your story. People want to hear your story, actually. You can, because there are people who need to be set free. And maybe you should ask God today if there's like a new chapter that he wants to write in the story of your life. I thank you that you've listened to our story this morning, a little bit of our life as your representatives on the continent of South America. And as the worship team comes back, I would just like to bow together in prayer and thank God for this time. Thank you, Lord. You are good, and your love endures forever. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for the privilege to be gathered here in this place as your children. And we rejoice that you are at work in the world, that you are at work in our own lives. And so teach us to share our story, the one that's written in our lives, and help us become increasing channels of your love in a lost and hurting world. And we pray this by the power that's working us for your glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen. If you love Jesus, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to learn more about JR and Becky's work in Ecuador, there is a table out there with some material on it. There's a video playing. You can stop over there. Don't forget to get your beverage on the way home or wherever you're going. Let's see, there were other things I wanted to tell you, and they just slip in my mind. But it's good to have you here in worship this morning. And I just pray that as you go this week, you'll think about what JR said. God is writing a beautiful story in our lives. And he's asking us to let him be the author, right? So don't take the pen back. Let him be the author and let him write your story. Next week, this is what I wanted to tell you. Next week, we're starting a new series, and we're going to be looking a little bit more at God's story. We're going to look at the big picture of the Bible. So we're going to kind of look at God's story as he has given it to us in Scripture. We're going to take a few weeks to do that. So that's next week. But go this week in the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.